Welcome back to TechNet Radio. In today's episode, we welcome Lex Thomas, Principal Technical Account Manager for the U.S. Premier Support Services Team here at Microsoft. Tune in as he guides us through this multi-part series on how you can use network monitoring to troubleshoot potential Office 365 connectivity issues. Blake, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, a senior IT pro evangelist here in Microsoft out of Tampa, Florida. And with me today as my guest, I have Lex Thomas. How you doing, Lex?
Hey, Blaine. How's it going, man?
Doing good. Thanks for joining the show. You're a principal technical account manager of the U.S. Premier Support Team in North Carolina. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Awesome. But you're actually from Florida? What? Tell me a little bit about you being from Florida.
Yeah, I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, and my parents live in Fort Pierce right now, and I have a house down in Indian Rocks Beach.
Nice. Beautiful area, right down there by Clearwater. So great. Hey, wow, you got me beat on the years at Microsoft. You've got 21 years at Microsoft, Lex, all the way from, we're going to talk about your first computer experience coming up. But networking engineer for Microsoft, first dedicated MS support engineer. That's pretty impressive. We'll maybe talk about that. Your first ops consulting engineer and operations consulting. Wrote MS tool protocol analysis workshops. Delivered protocol analysis classes to most of our premier customers. And you are helping to support as a technical account manager all the rocket scientists for NASA. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love NASA. It's actually a lot of fun. Those guys are great. And they're all very, very, very smart. So it's fun to work with a group like that that's so into technology, like I am and like you are, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, working with NASA, that's got to be a pretty awesome experience and lots of bits and bytes, right? Lots of technical types of interactions with a lot of the engineers there. And just supporting NASA is probably a big endeavor. No pun intended. However, let's go back to when you first started with computers, right? I mean, you started with Microsoft 21 years ago. What was your first computer experience before that?
Well, so I went to a special school in Florida, in Davie, Florida, actually, just outside Fort Lauderdale, called Nova. And it was a Florida public schools experiment, and you had to take a test. And if you passed the test, you could go to Nova. And we actually had dumb terminals on our desks in the 70s in high school. And so we had all sorts of really cool projects. I took digital electronics in high school at Nova. We tore apart a TV station and rebuilt it. So it was a lot of fun, and that's really what got me interested in this technology.
Yeah, that's awesome. By the way, I've been doing some things with Nova Southeastern University, is that correct? The one right outside Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, actually, we shared the parking lot with them. So, okay. So Nova High School was right across the street.
Interesting, yeah. So we do some IT pro camps down there in South Florida. So great. So let's talk about, you know, how'd you get from, you know, working at Nova and taking those tests in high school and then really starting your career in IT back in those days? What were your first experiences moving into IT?
Okay, so after Nova, I went to work for a place called Software City, which I don't believe they're around anymore, but they sold Commodore 64s and Commodore Amigas and VIC-20s, and I actually was an authorized Commodore repair center. So I worked for them during the day and then repaired Commodores at night. And one day, a customer of mine came in and said, "Hey, by the way, you know, Microsoft is coming to Charlotte. You should go apply." And you know, my first thought was, wow, you know, what would they want with me? I'm mostly hardware. You know, they're not going to want a hardware guy. But sure enough, you know, I went, I interviewed, and they hired me right away. And that was 21 years ago, and it's been awesome ever since.
Yeah, that's quite amazing, your track record there. Network engineer, probably one of the first at Microsoft, and then kind of moving into the dedicated support engineering role. Looks like you were one of the first dedicated MS support engineers.
Yeah, so I actually, one of my first responsibilities after joining Microsoft was to be a liaison between development and product support. And so I got to go and work with the dev team during the Windows for Workgroups time frame, and actually did a couple of things, invented some of the troubleshooting switches, did what was the predecessor to safe mode, which was win.first and system.first. Those are all mine. And that's kind of how I got started in the networking piece.
Well, great parlay into what we're going to talk about today, and that's, well, you've pretty much been working on on-premise tools, but, you know, we got this new cloud thing, right? It's up and coming, and one of the pieces of the public cloud offerings is not only Windows Azure and SQL Azure, but, of course, our Office 365 suite of products with SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, Link, and the Office Professional Plus offerings kind of wrapped up into that public Office 365 offering. You're going to talk about more some troubleshooting tips using NetMon and Office 365?
Yeah, and this stuff doesn't just apply to the Office 365 stuff. It'll apply to really anything that talks over the wire. Since those are cloud-based products and solutions, of course, they are heavily network-based, so this stuff will apply to all of that stuff as well. But, yeah, generally what we're going to do here today, I think, is start out by taking a look at the tools that we use to troubleshoot those network-related issues. Then we'll dive in a little bit and take a look at some of the stuff that's actually built into the OSs that will help you do that as well.
That's awesome, Lex. Let's go ahead and show us what you got.
Okay, well, I've got a little presentation, a little PowerPoint presentation that I've put together here. So let me switch into that. Okay, so this is a little slide deck that I put together for this TechNet Radio presentation. And so here's my bio, and I think we've talked about that, so I'm going to kind of skip through that slide real quick. And this is the agenda. Number one, we'll talk about why capture traffic. We'll go through some of the capturing tools. We'll talk about Network Monitor 3.4, NMCAP, NetSH, how to capture encrypted traffic, and what some of the tools are that we can use to actually look at that encrypted traffic, unencrypt it when it's possible, or capture it prior to encryption if that's an option. And then we'll take questions. We'll do a little Q&A session. Does that work? All right, so why capture network traffic, right? I hear this all the time. Well, you know, if you ask the average person how they troubleshoot a networking issue, really the first thing that they say is ping or traceroute. And those are great tools because they help us understand that we have a device at the other end of that wire that is active and that can respond to a ping, right? But just because you can ping a box doesn't mean that the services that you're trying to connect to are up and running, that processes that we need to communicate with are up and running, and that we can actually communicate with them successfully. And there are a lot of things that will prevent us from doing that, even though ping works, right? Capturing network traffic does require a bit of tool knowledge. There's something that I say in each of my classes, and that is knowing how to use Network Monitor doesn't help you much if you don't know what it is that you're looking at. And that's absolutely true with any network sniffer. You can capture the traffic. That's fairly easy. You fire up the tool, you know, you hit capture, and next thing you know, you've got network traffic. But understanding what it is that you need to look at and how to sort that out is actually where the trick comes into play. So we'll talk about that a little bit when we get to conversations, which I don't have a note on this slide about, but I'll show you when I do the demos. Okay. Capturing network traffic is also great for identifying hardware issues, right? Is packet loss occurring? Where is packet loss occurring? Which device is causing a problem? We just did a large Office 365 deployment for one of the federal government customers, and they had firewalls on top of firewalls, and so having to sort all that out would have been nearly impossible without a tool like this that allowed us to capture the network traffic and figure out where in the chain of in the chain of events that take us from point A to point B, that traffic was actually being dropped. And so it's very important to be able to do that. Identifying issues with specific network transactions. Some transactions fail while others work. You know, why is that? You know, is there a port that's blocked? Is there an issue with a specific service at the target? Is that service listening? Is it accepting incoming network traffic? And those are all questions that understanding how to capture traffic and understanding what to look for will help you answer. And so that's why this is so helpful. Also, identifying firewall issues, right? Does traffic get from point A to point B, or is it blocked somewhere? Maybe some traffic gets there, but some doesn't, right? Is there a specific port that's blocked? And so we'll look at all of that.
Yeah, that's a pretty common issue there, is trying to figure out what port to open and what not to open and what's the right thing to do there. Because while opening ports is helpful for traffic, you know, in and out, it also could be susceptible to some security issues. So, you know, go a little deeper on that when you get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's one of the big issues that we had at this last deployment that we did. So I actually wrote a tool that goes out and finds the devices that we need to talk to and then checks every port that we need to have open.
Nice.
So we'll talk about that. So Network Monitor is our sniffer. It's Microsoft Sniffer. Just to give you some background on the tool, the first version of Network Monitor was released with SMS in the mid-90s. And it's been improved upon many, many, many times. And it's actually a pretty cool tool. It's a great analysis tool. It allows us to identify specific traffic based on any filter criteria. So I can filter based on anything in any packet, right down to a byte pattern, right? So I can say only capture or only display TCP traffic or only display UDP traffic, or I can even say only show me traffic generated by a specific application. So in the Office 365 example, right, if I'm troubleshooting a link issue, I can actually tell Network Monitor, hey, just show me the traffic generated by the link process on the client side, or just show me traffic generated by Outlook on the client side. So we can do that in the tool, and that makes troubleshooting this stuff pretty painless. We can identify specific conversations based on endpoints, and an endpoint means IP address A to IP address B, or port A to port B, or based on protocols. Is it UDP traffic? Is it RPC traffic? Is it TCP traffic? We can look at specific application level transactions like SMB traffic, MSRPC traffic. We can open and capture multiple traces at the same time. So I can have multiple traces occurring, each with different filters, maybe each tracing off of different net cards, so that I can kind of take a look from multiple perspectives and put the pieces of the puzzle together to get to a resolution. We also have analysis templates, which I'll show you. You can extend the functionality by plugging in experts. We have different parser sets that we can enable and disable. And a parser set is just a piece of code that interprets the raw hex data that we pick up off of the wire. And then we also have color filters. So let's say that, you know, I want retransmits to stand out. Well, I can go in and say, hey, if it's a retransmit, make it bright red, or make it bold, or underline it, or show me all of the traffic that has a specific username in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Also, back to experts. Is that more expert level templates that you put in for the analysis on that template, or what is it? What are the experts exactly?
Yeah, so experts are add-ins, right? And so there is a website, CodePlex, and I'll take you there when we fire up Network Monitor for the first time here in a few minutes. And they are components that you can download and install in Network Monitor that add functionality. An example of that would be NM Decrypt. NM Decrypt is a expert that allows us to take an encrypted trace, and if you can supply the certificate that data was encrypted with, we can take NM Decrypt, load that certificate in, and then decrypt the encrypted data in the trace. And so it gives us a way to look at something that we normally wouldn't be able to look at because of encryption. So the next question is that a security risk? And the answer is no, because you have to export the certificate, password protected, and then load it into Netmon. So you have control over the certificate that the encryption, that the packets were encrypted with. Does that make sense?
Yep, it does. So experts are add-ins or add-ons or add-ins that you get from CodePlex. So maybe you'll talk about that a little bit coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this is Network Monitor 3.4. This is the initial startup screen. We've got three panes here, a recent captures pane, and that just gives us the option to create a new capture tab, which I'll show you in just a second, or open an existing capture file. We also have links to capture files that we've opened previously. Down below that, we have the Select Networks dialog box. This allows us to turn specific network adapters on or off for the purposes of capturing traffic. And this is just a global setting. So when we create individual capture tabs, we can go and turn things on or off at each capture tab as well. So all of this, all that the Select Networks dialog box really does for us is just give us a default. And then we have the news pane. That's the getting started with Network Monitor 3.4. And just a few minutes ago, one of the things that I mentioned was experts. So I'm going to go down here, and there's actually links down at the bottom of this pane. And I'd encourage anybody that wants to play with this tool to go and look through these links. If I want to download experts, I just click on the GoMicrosoft.com experts link, and that'll take me to CodePlex. Okay, so clicking on that link in Network Monitor opens up this web page. And this is the page where we can go and actually take a look at which experts are available and download experts. And we also have the option here to download the experts SDK. Just as an example, I'm going to go ahead and select NM Decrypt here. This brings me to the NM Decrypt page. And then I can just hit download. I'll agree to the EULA. And I can go ahead and install NM Decrypt. I'm going to install it, and then once it's installed and we switch back to Network Monitor, I'll show you actually where it's installed and how to access it.
That's
so great. I'm going to go ahead and switch back to Network Monitor now, and we'll just let that install, and I'll give you a little bit more of a tour. So if I want to start capturing, what I need to do is go ahead and open a new capture tab. And one of the things that we talked about was the ability to have multiple capture tabs open. As this capture tab opens up, there it is. You should see it in just a second. I can go back to the start page, and I'll do new capture tab again. While that's opening up, let's just go ahead and tell it to install NM Decrypt. Okay, so now I've got a couple of capture tabs open. I'll go ahead and select capture tab one, and I'll just create a quick filter here. Now I've got two options for filters. I can do a capture filter, or I can do a display filter. A capture filter just determines how much of the data that we see on the wire we're actually going to pick up and put into the capture, into the trace. So let's say that I'm on a very busy network and I only really care about DNS traffic, I'll just type DNS in here, hit apply, and that'll apply that DNS capture filter.
That's sweet. That's really easy.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, you look at the earlier versions of Netmon, and it was like in your face, right? It was like, here's the tool, and now you had to be, you know, unless you knew a little bit about network monitoring or packet sniffing and using tools, it was kind of a little overwhelming because it didn't really give you these tabs and the step through the interface and lots of resources and lots of help. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So You know, I thank the early versions of Network Monitor because without them, I would not nearly be as fluent in networking as I am, because you absolutely had to know everything. In fact, the way that you did a capture filters was that you had to know what the byte pattern was in the packet, and you had to know the hex offset of that byte pattern. So just to give you an example, let's say I wanted to capture DNS traffic in the older versions of Network Monitor. I'd have to say, okay, look at offset 22 in hex for a value of 0035, or look at offset 24 in hex for a value of 0035. So you had to know that 35 was 53. You had to know that the port fields were 2 bytes long, and you had to know the location of those port fields in the packet. So it was much more difficult. Let me show you something else here while we're in this dialog box. If I just hit dot, I'll give you all of the fields here that are valid under DNS. So if I come down and select Q record and then hit dot, we'll give you all of the subfields that are available for that field.
That's nice.
So we'll take that as far out as we can. That's just IntelliSense. It's something that we've done in a lot of our dev products for a long time. And so we took that model and implemented it in Network Monitor.
That's sweet.
So right now I've got this filter applied. You can see where it says current capture filter DNS. So I'll just go ahead and close the dialog box. And I'm going to start capturing. And one thing to notice here is that as soon as it starts, the little gray dot next to capture one will go green. And there it is. We get two packets immediately. One tells me what my capture filter is, and we store that in the trace itself. And then the next one tells me which adapters are actually in use. And if I expand that out, these are my adapters that we're using to capture this data. Okay, so we're capturing, and I'm looking for DNS traffic. I haven't really done anything to generate any DNS traffic yet. I'm just going to go ahead and fire up a command prompt here. And I'll just run NSLookup, and NSLookup will automatically go out and look at my DNS servers. So we should see that traffic appear. And there we go. We've got some DNS traffic. I'll just query for something that, any sockets-based machine name out there. Let's do... I don't even know if that's actually a website. Yeah, but it doesn't matter because it generated traffic, and that's what we were looking to do. So I'll go ahead and exit out of this now. And we can take a look at the traffic that we've captured. Now, one of the cool things about this tool is that I can look at the traffic that I've captured without stopping the capture. Right? So we're still capturing. We still have a green light on capture one. And I can take a look at this. Here's the query that I made to eStore.com. And the response here is actually a success. And I can dig all the way down in the response and pull any information that I need out of that. I can also right-click on anything in this response, like time to live. If I just right-click that, I can do Add Selected Value to Display Filter and apply that. So now it'll only show me frames that have a time to live defined.
That's great.
With a value of E10. And so I can do that in any field, in any packet. I can also take that same filter. Let me just cut this out of here. Actually, I'll do a different one here. Let's do name server count. Right click on it. And I can make that a color rule. And so color rules allow us to define specific fields or protocols, we can assign a color to those. And so when we assign a color to those, they'll stand out in the trace a little better. So I'm going to make these red. I'll select OK. I'll also make them bold, and I'll select OK. And now, anything that has a... server count field will actually be red and bold.
That's great, because sometimes it's hard to search through all that get your eyes right to look at all that data. So this is a really powerful tool when these colors to highlight those areas specifically what you're analyzing.
Yeah, exactly. Now we have a conversation tree over on the left-hand side, and I can open this up and take a look at conversations between specific boxes here. And so it looks like we've issued several DNS queries, and each of these DNS queries will actually be separated out, right? Because they're separate UDP transactions. So we break this traffic down based on transaction. And so I can look at each of these individually.
Great.
So here's my query for eStore, and there's the name error response that we got back. Does that make sense?
Sure does.
Okay, great. So let's go to Capture 2. In Capture 2, I'm going to say only capture HTTPS traffic. Let's do tcp.port, and then I'll just do equals 443, and that'll capture only HTTPS traffic. So let me go ahead and apply that filter. Okay, there we go. So in Capture 2, I'll just go ahead and hit start here. And there's my capture filter. So with the Office 365 products, when we're using the mail client, one of the things that we do is talk HTTPS to the cloud exchange servers. So I'm going to simulate that here by just doing https://mail.microsoft.com, and I'll hit enter. And I can type in my username and password. And that brings me into my mail. So remember that we had a trace running. So I can go ahead and stop this. Now, the cool thing about this is that I used Internet Explorer to generate this traffic. So if I look in the conversation tree, I have iExplorer listed as an application here, and I can look at just traffic generated by Internet Explorer. So we have one IPv4 conversation, and we have two TCP conversations. So I can click on either of these TCP conversations, and it'll separate that data out. Now, because of where the network monitor driver architecturally sits, this traffic is already encrypted. So when I take a look at this traffic, it is actually in a secure tunnel. Does that mean that it's useless? Well, no, it's far from useless, because I can still look at things like connectivity issues. I can look at, did we successfully get to the endpoint? So here's our TCP session establishment. I sent a SYN request to mail.microsoft.com. It came back with an ACK-SYN. I ACK'd the ACK-SYN. And then from a TCP standpoint, we're good to go. We're talking. So I know that I could get there, and I know that this session was successful. I can also look for specific types of things that might occur in a trace that would be bad, like TCP retransmits. So if I want, I can type in TCP retransmit here and hit apply, and network monitor will go through and look at this data to and parse it and figure out if any of these packets were retransmitted. And so in this case, I have 295 frames. None of them are displayed, so none of these were retransmits. And I can click on this other TCP session here and apply the same filter, and it will tell me if any of those packets were retransmitted. So the cool thing about this is I can do it by application, I can do it by IP conversation, I can do it by separate TCP conversations, or I can go up and just select all traffic and do it by all traffic. So that's network monitoring.
Yes, so through the analysis of all that data, now you can, you know, even look at some, you know, possible security vulnerabilities, or perhaps maybe somebody trying to intercept or retransmit based on a black hat tool, right? I mean, what's the security around this or getting this in the hands of, say, the would-be hackers, right?
So I think you're actually asking me two questions there. I think the first question is, can we use this tool to identify some sort of incoming attack? And the answer there is absolutely, right? You know, we can look at any field in any packet. In fact, we've got the hex dump here, which gives us all of the information in each packet, all of the hex data in each packet. And so let's say that, you know, there was a virus running rampant in our environment, or some sort of Trojan horse or something along those lines. As long as we have the byte pattern, as long as we know what those packets look like, we can build a filter that will help us monitor for those types of things and identify them when they occur. The second question is, would having this tool enable somebody to hack us? Well, having the tool doesn't really enable that, right? Obviously, they could run a network capture from their local box, but remember that any sniffer in the world, any sniffer on the planet, really can only see what your local net card sees, right? So if I'm running this sniffer on a local box, this thing's only going to see what my net card hears on the wire or puts on the wire. And what that means is that it'll be able to see anything I send or anything that I receive. Now, can they get things like IP addresses? Yes, but they could get that with NSLookup, right? By just doing an NSLookup against a specific server name, right? This data is encrypted between a Office 365 client and the servers so that things like passwords are not exposed, so that things like email and calendaring events are not exposed. And we take that very, very, very seriously. And that's why we have the security that we have. And Network Monitor doesn't allow you to break that security, right? It doesn't allow you to look at this data unencrypted. Now, the caveat to that is we do have the NM Decrypt tool, but you have to have the certificate. And if you have the certificate, you don't need Network Monitor to decrypt that data because you have the certificate. So you can decrypt that data with a number of different tools. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you. That makes more sense.
Okay, great. All right, so that's just a quick overview of Network Monitor. Maybe at a later date, if you guys want to dive into specifically troubleshooting issues with specific types of protocol or specific transactions, we can do that. But I'd like to switch back to the slide deck and kind of move ahead because we've got a lot of stuff to show.